Welcome again to Parent is a Verb with myself, Dr. Barry Holzer.
And Chani Holzer.
Today, we'd like to talk to you about the challenge of becoming a parent. Last time, in our initial session, we spoke a bit about knowing yourself and knowing your spouse, understanding where you grew up and how that's affected you.
No, I think that's an excellent place to start. And I would reiterate that knowing yourself and knowing why that crying baby sets your nerves on edge, where, you know, for your spouse, that crying baby is just a crying baby who needs to be attended to, is very important. And then to really know your spouse and what they need and how they feel about this role as parent, and really having a synthesis of that so that it informs your own here and now parenting is critical.
Yeah, I think what you bring up is the whole issue of the impact of the experience of being a parent and how it impacts on us, what it brings out in us, what it sort of reawakens in us at times. Because, you know, as our kids get through different stages, we have certain expectations, and certain things might really be, the crying baby might to me be, my baby's crying, I'm a failure. Whereas to my spouse, it might be, oh, baby's crying, that's what babies do. You know, that's fine. It means baby's hungry or whatever's, going on with the baby right now.
But when you have a really strong reaction to something that otherwise is just a regular routine experience in the course of a day, you really need to stop and ask yourself that question. Is like, what is this? What is this about? What's this evoking in me?
Right. It's like when the kids laugh at me when I used to say, if you don't calm down that back there in the car, I'm going to turn the car around and go home.
Right. And what was that noise about? I mean, the truth is I even know about, for myself that I'm very sensitive to noise, probably because I grew up in a home that was noisier. And I kind of like my home, my environment, wherever I am, I like it to be more like a library. I like calm. I like a quieter. That makes me feel comfortable, and it probably makes me feel like less chaotic.
And some people, we know, are not comfortable with quiet. They need to have something going on in the background all the time. And understanding where you're coming from, and understanding what your reactions are about, because parents say that sometimes the silliest things, when your 3-year-old is carrying on the street, and you yell at them, if you keep carrying on this, I'm never taking you out again. Well, they're three. I hope that doesn't happen.
The child's never going to see the light of day again, poor thing. But of course, the parent doesn't mean that. So, why is that scene evoke for you that is so strong that you need to say something utterly ridiculous that you don't mean?
So understanding where we're coming from and using those situations as learning experiences. Why am I getting upset in this situation? Our assumptions are that, when I get upset, I have a right to be upset because there's a reason I'm upset about this. And that approach, I think, is very limiting. Rather, I think we have to start looking at if something is really ticking me off and something is upsetting me, why is it upsetting me and what can I learn about myself from this? What can I learn from the situation and how can I understand the situation better and understand it differently?
Absolutely. And that's the growth process. I think that there's a really important piece to understand. The day that you become a parent, you're just beginning your journey as a parent. And this is just the beginning of your learning process because now you actually are in your own laboratory with your own child and you both become parents. This is just the beginning. So what you are day one with that new baby is not how you're going to be, God willing, year 5 of that child's life with maybe another child or two in the family. It's an evolutionary process, and I think that's important to remember so that you don't really get down on yourself for all the quote mistakes that you've made. And the cool thing about working with people and being parents is that you can always go back and rectify what you perceived as a mistake or an error. either by apologizing to the child, which is a very powerful thing to do, which we'll probably address at some later date, or by just in your own mind saying, I'm never going to do that again, and this is how I'm going to remedy that, because it felt so awful to me and clearly had such an awful impact on my child that I never want to repeat that. The way you are day one with that new baby with that new toddler is not how you're going to be 5, 10, 15 years down the pike. We learn a lot as we go along, and I think you need to give yourself that compassion and understanding and credit that you will evolve, because children don't come with instruction manuals.
So sometimes we feel you could use one.
Oh, absolutely. Who couldn't use an instruction manual, especially for certain personalities?
I think what's also important is that as your children grow and reach different stages of development and different periods of their life, they're going to challenge you in very different ways.
Oh, just when you think you've got that two-year-old totally wrapped up and it's you're in charge and you're in control, they become a three-year-old with a whole new set of challenges and issues. So just when you think you've got it all nice and tidied up, think again. There are going to be new things coming just around the corner, faster than you can say boo.
Right. And so some parents who are very comfortable with their children when they're younger, in elementary school and pre-adolescent, all of a sudden they hit adolescence and the parent is ready to pull their hair out and they're screaming and yelling and they don't know what to do with these horrible children they have.
Well, by the way, when children become adolescents, I always tell parents, don't you remember having a two-year-old? Don't you feel like you have a two-year-old in a much larger body right now?
Part of the job is, how do we as parents learn to create a active parental approach as a team? Because really, the key here is that we have to become parents and separate from our own parents, understand ourselves, and become a new team with our spouse.
Right. Could you talk a little bit more about separating from parents? I think that's so important.
I think that very often, when we grow up, we understand parenting based on how we were parented. We know what our parents did.
Right.
And when we become parents, there are some things that we want, that we really appreciated that our parents did, and there are some things we probably didn't like. And some people think their parents were perfect, and their spouse thinks that was far from perfect. And some things that, you know, we ourselves feel we want to do differently. And so understand, you know, very often people first get married, they go and call mom on every little question.
Well, that's okay for the cooking, I think, right?
And it's really okay if, you know, mom will help you take care of the baby the first couple of weeks. But as you grow, you really need to look to each other to address some of the issues and answer the questions. How do we want to do this? What is going to be our goal for our family? How are we going to set the rules in our family?
Right, and I think it's also learning to rely on each other for each other's wisdom, because clearly you married this person. They can't be a total idiot. They have to have some wisdom that they bring to the table. And I think it kind of opens up a new opportunity to see different wisdom from your partner when you can bring them in to be a co-parent with you.
Yeah, and what we often see is, you know, two people fighting, but my parents did it this way, and, you know, arguing basically that the way I was brought up is better, and your parents are all wrong, and this is the only way to do things.
And you know what, even if that were true, and one spouse's family cornered the market on the perfect parenting and the perfect style and everything is just whatever perfect means, and if you hold on to that as if that were like, you know, Torah mi Sinai, you're going to end up probably being very right all the way to divorce court, because it's going to just alienate your partner, and it's certainly not going to necessarily bring the two of you together as a team, as a parenting team.
What you really need to recognize is that this is not a competition. What you want to do is celebrate what each of you can give, the strengths that you bring to the relationship, the things that you feel comfortable and that you're good at, and what you really want to learn and what you feel you want to improve upon.
I just remember from our own experiences as very, very new parents with an infant, initially when we brought our first home from the hospital, I was primarily home alone with her because Barry was still in the hospital doing those all-night things, you know, that residents did back in those days. And I clearly, for the first few weeks of her life, owned the parenting program on my own. And then I remember the month, the second month of her life, you took vacation time. And you were suddenly very eager to become a parent, which was so nice, except that you really had never held a baby before in your life, didn't know what you were doing. And I had a whole month of experience and practice and was clearly the much more experienced, much more perfect parent. And I remember one episode, and I think it was divine providence that helped me in with this, because I wasn't that smart. You wanted to give our young baby daughter, who was still flailing around, had no head, no neck muscles that worked, a bath. And I was thinking, he's giving her a bath, he's going to drown her. And you said, I kind of helped you set up the whole thing in the kitchen so that she wouldn't die of exposure. It was the winter, because you didn't know that you were supposed to, like, get all the stuff together first. You were just getting ready to dump her in the bathtub. And then what would you do for a towel? But so that part I kind of helped you out with, like, just setting it all up. And then once you were putting her in that water, I knew that if I stayed there, I was going to become the director of the scene. And that would have really cramped your style and your relationship with her and your own confidence in being able to be her parent. And I'm sure you don't remember this, but I remember very clearly. I left the kitchen, which is where the bath was occurring, and I went into the other room and I blared the television because I couldn't bear hearing this kid scream while her father attempted to give her his first bath. But it also was an exercise in me being able to control myself and my need to own this parenting thing on my own, because I was the expert at that point.
It really wasn't such a bad bath. You could have stuck around.
Well, it seemed painful to me at the time, so I left the room.
I think the other side of it is that you have to be willing to listen and learn. It's all right to not know everything, and it's really okay for a mother to say, I think I have what to teach you about this. Why don't you listen? And for the father to say, okay, I'm willing to listen. Teach me. And very often I see parents who, you know, are insecure and want to show that I know what I'm doing to the ridiculousness. You don't really have to know. You just have to be willing to learn. And as long as you're willing to learn, you'll do okay.
Right. It's really being able to hear each other and learn from each other and accept your own limitations, and that someone might really have half a leg up on you, and to be able to go with that.
So now we've been talking for the last 15 minutes, you're wondering, is this about parenting or is this about, you know, relationships and marital relationships? And the fact is, the point we want to make is the first step in being good parents is really working on your relationship. If you can learn from each other, if you can listen to each other, if you respect one another, then you could set up parenting that really is going to work. You need to know when to defer, when to ask for help, and to be able to develop a unified approach that's uniquely yours. That's a combination of where each of you come from, where each of you want your home to be, and an approach of how you feel you can accomplish that.
Right. I think a lot of times people get lost in the sense that it begins to feel like a competition. Who can do it better? Who can do it quicker? Who can do it more efficiently? It just becomes this really what it shouldn't be, this competition. When in fact, as Barry mentioned, I think it's an opportunity to really start celebrating what each of you can give in the relationship and in the relationship to the child. And what strengths do each of you bring? Because you clearly both bring gifts. They might be extremely different gifts that you bring. One person might be a lot better at organizing, getting out of the house. Another person might be better at creating the fun. So just being able to recognize that each of you bring strengths to the table and that they're equally important strengths that need to be honored and brought in and celebrated and welcomed is extremely important.
If both parents are willing to work together and understand where I'm coming from, what my priorities are, what's important to me in the home, what do I want my home to be like, then you have to be able to discuss it and have some leeway. Again, where you draw the lines not nearly as important as the fact that the two of you can agree and be together on it. You know, what time supper is or what time bedtime is exactly, or if kids are allowed to watch TV for half an hour on a school night or not allowed to watch TV on school night or allowed to watch for an hour is not nearly as important as the fact that both parents have come to this decision together and agree that this is an appropriate approach for this child.
Definitely. And I think there's also something that I really wanted to mention that can be very, very lovely and very critical all at the same time and profound, is that when you are new parents, or even when you're not new parents, but especially when you're new parents, being able to bolster your partner in their parenting and their involvement is critical, because face it, both of you feel awkward and certainly don't know much. But if you can like look at your wife and say, wow, I can't believe you did that. That was amazing. That adds so much to her confidence in her ability to mother. And it certainly doesn't hurt your connection with your spouse, and vice versa. If a wife can turn to her husband and say, wow, I can't believe that you got that baby to finally fall asleep. You're like the sleep genie. You're amazing. That, again, is another reinforcement to the spouse that, wow, you know what? I really can do this, and my spouse believes that I can do this. To be able to send each other those bolstering messages is also critical and profound.
And I think to reiterate, reinforce that, is that it's very easy to criticize.
Good point. Oh, I forgot all about that.
And when the husband comes home at 7 o'clock and, you know, they have three little kids who've been playing in the living room all day, because that's the playroom also, and the place is a mess and dishes aren't put away, and says, what have you been doing all day? That's not a positive, helpful, encouraging statement. It's really important to say, how can I help you? It's important to recognize, you know, that it is challenging. It is a difficult full-time job. And I appreciate all the work that you do. And being able to help each other by reinforcing the positive, by thanking each other for your contribution and offering to help instead of criticizing in the areas that are still a challenge, and trying to figure it out together. Is there a better way? Is there something we can do to make this easier for you? As opposed to saying, why can't you keep the things under control? Is really going to help you as a couple and help your parenting as well.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the criticizing piece, because when one spouse needs to voice criticism at their partner, that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity to ask the criticizing partner, really they should be asking themselves, where is this coming from? Why do I need to be critical now? Why am I doing this? It goes back to know thyself well, because otherwise you will be sticking thine foot in thine mouth way too often.
We've been talking so far about really knowing yourself, getting a better understanding of yourself, using the opportunities when you seem to get overreactive to a situation or very uncomfortable situation, and really look at it and say, why does this make me angry? Why does this make me uncomfortable? Learning to separate from where you've come from and join with your partner and creating a new home and setting up the goals of what you want your home to be like and creating your own environment and learning how to really support one another as opposed to criticizing one another. This is all part of the challenge of becoming parents.
One more point I kind of want to underscore is very often, because people are sleep deprived and because there are messes and because it can get chaotic, there are things that will erupt, and that's normal. But it's what you do with those eruptions that are so important and so pivotal in the relationship and in family life. Every eruption shouldn't be, oh my God, we're having an eruption, something must be terrible. No, every eruption or everything that feels like a bit of a bump is really an opportunity. Why did this erupt? How did this erupt? Maybe somebody needs a little bit of extra attention or a little bit more stroking, whether it's the child or either it's parent. It's an opportunity to really talk and to reflect. And it doesn't necessarily need to be done right then and there. That eruption can be tucked away by either spouse and say, I want to address this at a different time when we really have an opportunity to talk about this and not overreact to it. To see everything, even stuff that feels uncomfortable or painful, as an opportunity.
Right. And I think there are hundreds of opportunities all the time that we often miss, because as parents, our goal is chinuch. Our goal is to train our children to grow up and to be mentioned. And as part of that, we have to look at every interaction we have as an opportunity to educate. And very often, we miss those opportunities. So, for example, most typical thing, you have a 5-year-old who's, you know, has a hard time sitting still at the table and will frequently go grab something and knock over his milk.
That never happens.
And the typical reaction of a parent is,
why'd you spill the milk?
Right. You know, why'd you look what you're doing? Why are you so clumsy? As opposed to thinking, well, number one, the kid's 5. Typically, kids this age will spill things because they don't really look that carefully. And so how can I make this an experience that he can learn from, as opposed to expressing my own frustration over the fact that somebody has to clean up the milk? And so what I suggest, in fact, I did this at a workshop not till last year, is I talked about this, creating opportunity and saying, okay, I'm going to teach my child responsibility. You spilt the milk. What do you think you should do now? And if you can't figure it out, then guide him to the fact that if you spill something, you need to clean it up because you're the one who spilt it. So you have to be responsible. And taking responsibility means if you make a mess, you clean up your mess. You don't have to get upset. You don't have to get angry. And it was very nice because that evening where I spoke, one of the people there came back to me and said, you know, at Havdalah tonight, my kid knocked over the grape juice that he was jumping to get. And I told him, well, what do you think you need to do? He figured it out and he cleaned up the mess. And nobody yelled. And the fact is that there are dozens of opportunities like this that are available all the time.
Right. And I think, you know, getting back to the original point also, integrating that, you know, this piece in there as well, is there were homes where spilled milk was literally a tragedy because parents or grandparents grew up in a time when spilling milk was a tragedy because there was no milk to spill. It was, you know, either wartime or it was the Depression. But that doesn't have to be a legacy that you take into your current life. So again, it's about knowing yourself and what activates you and why does it activate you? Where is it coming from?
I think that there is much that we need to do in terms of becoming parents, about really learning about ourselves, and it comes full circle. That if I understand that my reaction to the spilt milk is not the only reaction, if I understand where this is coming from, and that I have the ability to change the way I respond, I can really respond differently and come up with a different answer and a different approach. That's going to be more educational, more positive. It's not going to make my kid cry or feel bad. It's going to have my child feel that, A, they were responsible. They'll feel good about the fact that they were able to handle the problem. And it's going to make me feel good about being a parent.
You're ultimately teaching them how to take charge of themselves and how to problem solve. Right. And not to be overwhelmed when there's a problem in front of you.
So just to sum up, we really want to work on creating a team. We want to understand that this isn't about being right. This is about learning how to work together. And that if we can learn how to work together, that will model for our children an approach that will serve them well throughout their lives. It will model an approach in relationship, and it will also develop an environment in our home which is the environment we want them to have growing up, so that they can grow up in a home that has shalom, that is serene, that people get along, that people like each other,
that's supportive
and caring. And that doesn't happen naturally by itself. That takes work and that takes effort. And the hardest thing is to know ourselves and to work on ourselves. And it's not about changing my spouse and convincing them to be me.
That's a really good point.
It's about my ability to go beyond myself and be part of the team. Thank you for joining us today on Parent is a Verb. This is Barry Holzer and Connie Holzer saying goodbye. If you have any questions or comments, please email them to parentisaverb, all one word, parentisaverb@ou.org. Thank you and have a good day.